So I think Jude had a question. Jude's not here at the moment. Has anyone got any more questions before we wrap up? Because apparently we have to leave the room by 4 o'clock, so we need to sort of finish round about 1:45. Now,
you might be surprised, but there's been quite a few things that I've actually been able to relate to. There's been, one of the experiences I've had is I've been suggested that we have a Barnsley, I mean, it's not the most advanced place socially. And after they reclaimed the Mighty Sheffield, I said, well, we need to have one happening in Barnsley. And as soon as we got the meeting set up and we started talking about it, there were the men who were involved in other equality forums in Barnsley said, oh, well, we want to be involved in planning it because it won't be equal otherwise. And I said, no, it's got to be women only. The first, the women could decide if they want to, whether we want to involve men at a later stage. And so that was, so this insistence by men in being involved in things that probably is a surprise is that I said straight away to the women on the committee, do you want me here? Because I don't see myself as, I've realised that some of you may have objections to me being in what you want to be a women-only space. And they all said, yes, we want you here because we relate to what you bring to the table. So they were quite happy with that. There was something else that I sort of got to really disagree on. I don't know whether she was in the room with the band. So that was about the people... trans people do it for male approval. I've got to say, I think it's bullshit. That is bullshit. The one thing you cease to be when you become a trans woman is invisible to men. You become an object of scorn, derision, somebody to be used, and worthy of nothing. Lowest of the low. As a trans woman, so I, the idea that you do it for some sort of male approval, well, if you do, you're going to be soon abused by it. So it's nothing to do with that.
I think she was talking about not about trans women, but about the young feminists in feminist societies who were going along with all of the anti-feminist stuff. I don't think she meant trans women.
Yeah, but it's not something that is not. In men's eyes, trans women are...
Oh, absolutely, I think.
Is that universally the case, though? Just to, I know what you're saying, but is that the same for every interaction, every trans person with a man? I think there may be elements of it with some, but...
I would say it's meaningful interaction. If you're prepared to be used as a sex object, then you can get a lot of interaction with men. But that is the number of times I've been hit on by, and I would say that's a universal experience for trans women, that you're going to get hit as soon as you go online. You've got to firewall yourself because you will get hit on by guys from around the world. And I know that's an experience for women that's a universal experience, but you're getting a meaningful exchange with men is very, very rare. Most of them just don't want to know you. In fact, they're almost afraid that if they speak to you, that they'll be seen in straight guys are frightened that they'll be seen as gay. And if they're gay, they assume that you're gay and that you're therefore easy meat for them.
Yeah. It's complex.
Yeah, it is very complex. Yeah. And the only other thing I would say is that I can sort of negotiate my way through some of the arguments that are made. I think that there are people within the trans community that find that less easy that, you know, I'm aware that there are people out there that meet on a regular basis who perhaps got autistic spectrum disorder and things like that, that don't, can't negotiate away from these arguments very well. They are deeply hurt by them and can't work away past that.
Amanda, did you say you wanted to have something to say in response to, was it in response to Nell?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. the first thing is, I really appreciate you being here. If this room had been packed out with other trans women, I would have been really, really happy. Sadly, it's not the case. Because this is the sort of discussion that trans women need to have. We need to be brave. We need to realise that we ain't all going to see eye to eye, and that there are difficult conversations that need to be had. And that is what progress is all about. You mentioned before about the sudden visibility of how visible you suddenly become to men. And yeah, it's very, very true. And the it's my belief that the derision that is and the discrimination and the abuse that is hurled by men towards trans women is rooted in misogyny, because it is men seeing you as being a broken man, you or I as being a broken man, a defective man, closer to being a woman. And it's utterly misogynistic to look upon women as being broken men, or and trans women as being broken men. I feel as if I'm channeling Jermaine Greer all of a sudden. And it also brings, this is also an incredibly important point, it's another distraction for the trans community, almost over and above the issue of pronouns. It's another Trojan horse, and that is this concept of the cotton ceiling. Do people know what the cotton ceiling is? The issue for trans people is not the cotton ceiling. It's that's a distraction, it's nonsense. The real problem that trans people have is that men will, to be blunt, they'll fuck anything. They'll fuck a hole in the ground. Oh, am I speaking to a child? It was a sorry.
That's all right.
they will have sex with a hole in the ground, with a mattress, with a goat, with a car. The imagination to find something to put their penis in knows no bounds whatsoever. But the real issue for trans women is not getting men to sleep with us, it's getting men to take us and beat them up. They won't bloody well do that. They'll bang our brains out, but they will not take us home to meet their mum.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
Okay. All I was going to do was just echo exactly what she was going to say to you, the sample size of two or three, not sample size of one. But yeah, universally, I completely agree with that. In terms of gaining men's approval, men, in my experience, treat me purely as something sexual. And outside of that, wouldn't want to engage with it at all. I'd be very negative to engage with someone like me. And then just a second point I just wanted to make, I find it really, really sad that the kind of thing that we've heard Hannah speak about before seems to be pervasive amongst the older generation. And I find it really sad that we're all sat here spending a good proportion of today talking about trans issues, because it's a red herring, it's a complete distraction from talking about a walk.
I wanted to talk, you know, about the word whorephobia, because that's often used as a weapon against exited women who are campaigners, and it's used very cleverly when it's used with exited women, because they know that we all have trauma, and that we all have, you know, to be prostituted, you probably have a large amount of self-hate. And so they use that and say, look, you still hate yourself. You hate all whores, you hate, you know, and they also like to say to us that we want to kill, that our if we choose to be abolitionists, we want to kill all prostitutes, which of course is Alice in Wonderland speech, because they're killing prostitutes. But and also I want to say that I think that radical feminists can learn a lot from exited women who are campaigners, because they are daily, if not hourly, they are attacked and they are abused on a level which is not, it isn't just words, it's physical, it's stalking, it's finding out about your families, where they live and anything that you care about, it's putting your address on Twitter, it's threatening, you know, it's threatening you with killing you, or I mean, I was told to kill myself, you know, I have been, you know, it's physical, it's not words when it's exited women, it's not. And we don't stop, you know, we might slow down sometimes, and we might, but we can't stop, because everyone I know, it's basically, we're not fighting for ourselves, because we're out of it, you know. We're fighting for the women who are trapped, and we're also fighting for the many women we knew that died.
Mm.
And so we can't stop. It's not something we can just, we can't take it off and say, you know. And so I think you've got to just keep going, whatever they throw at you, because there's women dying every minute, you know, and, you know, they're just scum. I'm feeling really traumatised by some of the things they've been saying to me all week. But I'm not going to stop just because of a bunch of bastards.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thank you. We've got about 5 minutes to wrap up. Is there anything else anybody wants to say before we close? Julie's available.
That's what the daughter day transition is. If people day transition, apparently they get threatened as well.
Yeah.
There seems to be a
similar pattern. Well, I think what we need to do is make sure that we open up this discussion to as many people as possible across the political spectrum. And, you know, we know that some of us are linked into various communities, and I hope probably all off the left, because you all have to have a line in the sand, don't you? I'm not working with any bloody Tories. But I think if we put on talks like these, everywhere we can, get as many people to speak about this, not just me, not just Miranda, but others, and we will support it, and we'll bring in our colleagues and just bit by bit build up a bigger group of those that will speak out publicly, that will enable young writers to write in their own name.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want to be in a public forum like this, then let's support writing. Let's use all the skills that we've each got to enable more and more of us to be open, to be challenging. And if we don't do that, if we remain a quite a small group that put our name to the disgust that we feel about this McCarthyite landscape, and also if we allow the dominant discourse about prostitution and other issues to be that it's all great, liberating and unproblematic, then that would be a terrible shame, because there are more of us than there are of them. So my plea would be to support as many initiatives like this as possible, and to set up websites, invite people to join. Those that don't want to use their names for whatever reason, well, they can just join the kind of online community that's password protected. And then have a think about bigger and bigger, more frequent public events that explores feminism, proper grassroots feminism, that just dismisses that nonsense about the topsy-turvy nonsense out of hand, where we say, well, of course prostitution as an institution is damaging. Of course gender is a social construction. We've known this for decades. You know, of course religious fundamentalism badly affects women. And that we just stick to what we know is true. Because has anyone in the room ever felt like they're actually going mad when they read this stuff?
Yeah.
And this friend of mine who was at the anarcho-feminist conference, she's not a radical feminist. Feminism isn't particularly her issue. She's more involved in green politics. She just said, I couldn't believe my eyes. Everybody just took this white man standing up with a beard shouting through a loudhailer, you've misgendered me, transphobe, whorephobe. So let's be brave and just say, no, you're wrong, that's wrong. Because actually what, it's not, I mean, what's happened to me hasn't been that great, but I've got, you know, public profile as a journalist. And so they've been able to get at me in a much more public way. But what's the worst that's going to happen? You get challenged in your women's group. Well, that's awful, but just get your supporters around you and challenge them back, or leave the group and start up another one. I'm not trying to make it sound easy or minimising it at all. I know how bad it is. But the more proactive we are, rather than beaten down and just completely pessimistic we get, the better. And also, Miranda, I mean, if you will continue to bring in support from trans allies, I think that's really important, even if there's 3, 4, 5, because they, as somebody's just pointed out, you know, some of the trans people that I hear from have the most appalling bullying from the cabal. And so what chance is there for them to challenge their own peers, their own community?
It's a problem. They get people get isolated, and the, is it right to me?
Yeah.
One of the problems is that lots of people come to being trans from a position of secrecy, and they come out and they say, this is me, you know, what's like that, and they've got their support group, and they're very reliant on the online support group. And trans, you know, the face of the face or aspects of being trans have changed quite fundamentally with online, because one could be a personality that nobody necessarily has to see. You know, you don't even need to have a photograph to show who you are. And it has quite dramatically changed the landscape for the way that trans people interact with the world. The most significant problem is that lots of people come to it as being loners. It's a dirty little secret that they've got. They bring it out of the closet. They've got their little support group. And they've got to parrot this dogma, these utterly lifeless ideas that are inherently problematic, not just to trans people and not just, and to women as well. And they don't want to lose that support, and they're going to keep parroting the stuff and keep coming out with this. You know, they play this kind of this edge game where they try to say the most utterly ludicrous nonsense that you can possibly imagine, which is why we have concepts like the female penis and all that sort of thing. This actually happens in the real world, and it is a problem. But these people need to know that if you are going to jump ship and get away from these ideas, these damaging ideas, that there is another way to look at it, and that there are, you know, there are people, there are trans women out there whose ideas are based on rational ideas and real experience, and, you know, we're not going to kick anyone out just because we disagree with them.
Thanks.
Oh, and also, don't underestimate the importance of, I would use the term ordinary women. I think all women are extraordinary, but ordinary women are your biggest allies. Once they have the scales removed from their eyes, once people can see what is going on, they will join you. They're not radical feminists.
Mm-hmm.
They're ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
Once they know what's going on, they will fight with you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks very much. So, on that note, those of you who are aware of the Observer letter about freedom of speech, which caused a lot of furore both online and offline, the link's available, isn't it, in your on your website, is that right, Ruth? The Radfem Collective one. There's a website was set up following the Nottingham meeting for those who hadn't signed the original letter but wanted to support it. That's still available to anybody who wants to add their name to that.
Can I emphasise as well that the purpose of that letter was not necessarily supporting radical feminism. It was the idea about
debate
and about universities being able to have brave debate, and I think we all need to have brave debate. We need to be strong. This is being able to talk about these things is empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking your kit off for the light of some geezer is, that's not empowering.
Yes, yeah, so letters been signed by lots of people who are not radical feminists by any means.
Well, I signed the thing. It was really funny because one of my chief adversaries on Twitter said, oh, I see the pet token trans terse named right at the end. They've thrown them a bone or whatever. And somebody said, well, the name begins with Y. No wonder that they're at the end of
something.
So I changed my Twitter name to Miranda a Yardley. So that doesn't happen again. At least this dude's got a degree from Cambridge. I mean, it's like, what's going through their head? Mm. Sorry for the violent misgendering.
So, thanks very much, everyone, for coming. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Miranda.
Oh, thank you.
And we're going to go to the pub somewhere. Which pub are we going to?
Oh, God knows. How could you find your way in?
Right.
Well, you tell us where the pub is.
So, has anyone decided on that?